now time for the Port Podcast.
Here we go.
And 3, 2, 1, we are rolling. We are live.
Episode 9.
Hi, Ingrid.
Hi.
How are you?
So comfortable to be here.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us for episode 9. We are extremely excited and very well prepared to be here and chat with you. Thank you so much for coming. We're really excited to chat with you today and hang out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to our past episode with Fred and Andrew. We hope you enjoyed that and have gone up to see the exhibition up at the St. John Arts Center. Ingrid, we're stoked to have you here. You're doing so many cool things. You've been always doing so many cool things, and I've never actually gotten to sit down and have a chat with you. So I was stoked to hear that you were going to come on and talk a little bit about it, because I was genuinely excited. So
yeah, I don't know if we've met before.
Just like acquaintance.
You're like a St. John. Yeah, like you know you're in mean? The...
Like we all know
each other. She's a St. John there. Fixture.
Yeah, you're a St. John. Yeah, I know of you.
And same, yeah. Right? And I know like I'm close with Joanne and everybody. So yeah. It's like a lot of our people are very close and, you know...
Our people.
St. John our people. Like
our people.
There's a lot of our overlap people. In St. John. Like, you know everybody, but you also don't know anybody.
Yeah. And I think too, to be fair, and maybe this is like one of those things that the audience can resonate with, when you're getting, well, for me, when I'm getting older into my 30s and things, making friends or asking someone else out for a coffee or something, sometimes you need to have the bandwidth. So now we'll make sure that we have a coffee.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Cause sometimes you just fate lines up and you have the right time at the right place. Right. So.
Right. Yeah. The stars have aligned.
The stars have aligned.
Yeah.
So Craig and I, we're stoked to have you on. Tell us a little bit about you. Tell us just for anybody who doesn't know who the marvelous Ingrid is, tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, I was dreading this question.
Wait, they've done it to us since elementary school. Yeah. It's like, tell us what you
like. What about
me?
Yeah. Like in my own mind, I'm like, there's nothing special going on here. I live in St. John. I'm a wife, a mother. I have a business. I work there with my sister, but really it's just, I just sort of like get up and play every day and then go home and do whatever. Like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like what a disaster.
That sounds like a pretty good life
introduction for somebody. But yeah, no, like, I'm just, you know, I'm nobody special except that I'm doing what I want to do and
After this episode, you're going to be pretty special to our followers.
Maybe.
And you're the first guest from the Container Village, too.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your business.
Yeah. So my business is called the NB Box, and we have a bit of a business identity crisis because we're also Rising Tide Gifts. We're both. It makes no sense. I can't explain it. We're two businesses in one.
Can relate.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who's an entrepreneur could probably understand. But yeah, so we do have like a little retail shop set up at Container Village, and we sell only like locally made goods from within the region. So it started as the NB Box and we were NB only, and now we're Rising Tide Gifts, and that kind of allows us to branch out into the other provinces, like the Maritime provinces plus Newfoundland. So
right.
Yeah, we try to keep things local and cool. We're mostly about elevating the profile of goods that are being made in our area, and we sort of want to showcase that, like, no matter what you're in the market for, you can find it here, and you can find, like, a really good quality, high-quality product, whatever you're sort of shopping for.
And you've kind of really done the work to find and curate those collections, find those artists, you know, to really curate the quality of goods. And, you know, whether it was, I think, you know, from past NB Box buyers or just from like one-off products that you guys have done, the quality of goods is spectacular from what I've.
Yeah. Quality is definitely important. Like if, you know, we're selective about what we bring in. But representation also matters. So we want to make sure we're carrying products from the Indigenous business community and the queer business community. And we want to make sure we're representing rural communities and Acadian communities. So we're mindful of that and when we're bringing in new products too. And sort of also when we're taking a look, when we're doing sort of an inventory of what do we have already, where do the holes need to be filled? Where are there gaps? Can we can we substitute this for a different product that maybe meets more of those requirements?
Right.
Where that's sort of a, that's a juggling act for sure. Cause everything has to line up. It has to be price point. It has to be, is there a need for this product? Like it's complex. You think it would be fun. Like when I started, I thought I'm just shopping for a living and it's so fun and I just want some cute things. And it did start out that way. But as the business has grown, we've sort of narrowed down what our values are. Mm-hmm. And then that informs our business decisions like moving forward.
Well, I think even with our, you know, our experience with Port Days and the mug and just giving somebody, people from all over the world, not even from here, something that they could take home that would, isn't just, And this isn't a slight at anyone, but it's very easy to just go put an image on a mug and sell it for $20 or $30.
Yeah.
But I think when you're trying to give an experience or create a memory, there has to be more than that. And as someone who also lived and has been in St. John and never moved my whole life, I don't want to see just standard cut-of-the-mill type things, even if it is for people who are visiting for one time and maybe they pick it up, maybe they don't, but I'd like those quality of goods to be something that if I do see it on Instagram a year later, it's maybe a cutting board or a beautiful mug with our new cranes on it or something that actually right. makes sense.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's very, you're very tuned into your audience. And I think it's a very smart business decision and a marketing decision as well to be inclusive of all of those communities, because then you're not just marketing this one mug to somebody who likes it. You're finding six or seven different audiences and communities that would also like those products. So I think it's, and that's kind of why I said I was excited to really talk with you, because I appreciate how you do your due diligence on the business plan part of it.
And well, we try. It's definitely a work in progress, but we are mindful of it and we try. Especially like the last, I would say, 3 years. Because in the beginning, like I said, I was just, oh, that's cute. I need that. Like, you know, like stuff was just coming from wherever. In the beginning, it was only women that I was buying products from. I was only dealing with women businesses. Yeah. But, and that was, that's like near and dear to my heart. But that is very limiting in certain industries. Like when you get into woodworking, there are women woodworkers, but there aren't that many.
Right.
Same with what's like food production is sort of split 50-50, women and men. Mm-hmm. But most like small businesses, small product-based businesses are either started by women or family run. And there's like a woman at the helm. Yeah. And right. I think probably that's because, you know, historically women are at home raising kids. Like that's a really broad generalization and obviously doesn't fit everybody. But like when I was a stay-at-home mom, that's exactly how my business started. My kids are napping. I'm like, I'm not totally fulfilled by this motherhood thing. Like it's wonderful, but there's a piece missing here. So what can I do with my time? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you tinker around with what you like to do and then something sticks after a while. And so a lot of the businesses we work with to this day are like started on maternity leave, kind of a gig. Yeah.
That's great. And well, your business is certainly stuck.
Mine. Yeah. We've been really fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just had our fifth anniversary. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. We're very fortunate.
Yeah.
What
has been the biggest, piece of advice or key takeaway that you could potentially give or just shed some light on for potential people that maybe are in the phase where their kids are napping, or maybe they have a lot of great skills or a degree or something and they're thinking about doing something on the side? What's something that maybe you could help them with?
I think I have two maybe pieces of advice. And one is that nobody knows what they're doing ever. Like nobody ever knows what they're doing. We're all making it up as we go along. Like you can't compare where you're at with the people you aspire to be. They've had their own journey and you'll have yours. And that should give you some comfort that you're going to make your own mistakes and you'll learn from them. And then at some point you'll be who someone aspires to be. But let yourself off the hook for not knowing everything as you're doing it. And the second thing would be that hustle culture is so damaging mm-hmm. to people, but also to the, you know, the healthfulness of your business.
Right.
The health of your business. Just out here making up words. Yeah, and if you burn out, your business will tank. I've seen a lot of businesses shutter just because people have lost steam. They're tired of it.
Yeah.
These are like businesses with products that people want to buy with wholesale potential, like scalable, real businesses.
Right.
And these owners have just had it. They've lost their passion for it. They've lost their interest, and they're moving on. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Hustle culture sort of gives you this narrative that if you just work a little bit harder, you can attain something, and that is not real. That is fake. Fake news. Yeah.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true of any industry.
Totally.
Any position.
I think people are a lot more mindful, you know, in recent years of their own capacity for productivity and their own mental well-being. But there's still this, like, thing in the small business community that you have to be working 24/7 or you're on call all the time, or you can't say no to any opportunity. And that's just not the case.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I can definitely resonate with that.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, if you're not busy enough, then maybe you're not providing enough value to the people or your customers. And a lot of that plays into here, and it's a lot of ego based is what I've learned. And a lot of times people aren't looking at you or trying to tear your business or your strategies apart. They're actually just happy to promote you or refer you. Where it comes down to is if you do provide awful customer service, or if you're not taking care of yourself, and that's spilling out onto your business or onto your pals or your family.
Yeah.
And that's, I found for myself, like, burnout is real, but the loss of passion can happen real quick, from a day of being the most passionate business owner to it could be an hour later and having nothing left in the tank and feeling like a complete failure.
Oh, listen, one
and it's
dissatisfied
scary.
Customer email can sink a good day.
1,000%. And it, you know, and when you have to, you know, pay vendors and pay payroll and things, like, it's pretty daunting. No matter how great sales can be or how good a month can be, there's always, well, what if next month isn't like that? And I know, like, for me living here, I've always been in that scarcity mindset. So I'm always trying to make sure that I sort of know what's coming up next, but never really having the proactive ability to kind of have that catch-all for myself.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we don't want to promote hustle culture, but then there's that, well, if we have a couple more hours left to work at night, we could get ahead and jump on. And I think that's providing low quality work when you do that.
Yeah.
And that's something I've found for myself this past year.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, there's no problem, at least in my business, there is no problem that good customer service can't fix. Yeah. Like,
Facts.
We have made some really dumb mistakes. We've sent people the wrong gift. We've missed things. There is nothing that quality customer service can't fix. Mm-hmm. So if at the end of the day you have the option between sitting on the couch and watching a show to decompress or working an additional 3 hours, like, take care of yourself, because there's nothing, there's no problem that, you know, just being a good person and treating people with kindness and respect can't fix later on.
Well said. I'm just fascinated. I've never
and then
been
I
part
wonder
of a
how,
small business.
How Craig's port day to day when he's dealing with, like, terminal and, like, just, you know, these big things. It's a totally different probably process on how you deal with things, but it's all about making sure you have enough in the tank to be reactive in the right ways to the right strategies that actually help people and help the business.
Yeah, I mean, not everything is 100% relatable, but when you touched on the productivity question, I think that's something that is really interesting. Shifting paradigm in the office setting as well, same as small business, in that the notion of 9 to 5, you must be there no matter what your mental health situation is, no matter what's happening in your life, you must be at that desk, and assuming that that's productivity is such a flawed premise.
Yeah, that is the old perception is reality thing.
If you're there,
if you're there,
you're
you must be working.
Yeah.
No, and that's crazy. And studies show now too in the office setting that the more freedom and flexibility you give people, the more productive and generally contented they are in their jobs,
right. The
better your retention is for staff,
no
et cetera.
Question.
Like,
I always said that. And, like, for me, the more freedom that you give people, as long as they're managing their time.
Yeah.
And as long as the client expectations are up here, I know for myself, you become more fulfilled, you feel more happy, and you're more able to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel more of a guilt not being at work. So when I go to work, I show up, I'm more prepared, I'm motivated, I might dress a little nicer, whereas if I was mandated all the time to be like that, the quality of work would not be where it's normally at. And now having and managing a team, I can see what it's like versus having an office and having them sit there all day and be plugging away doing stuff.
Right.
Or just allowing them to have a life. I get emails all the time of them just being creatively excited to do things or excited to work on things that might take a bit more bandwidth. But it's not about being outside of office hours. It's we're excited as a team to work on those things.
Sure, yeah.
So the flexibility, as long as it's managed well, yeah. Oh my God, get on there. Because I think that that's where the golden goose eggs are.
Yeah.
Right now, especially if you can help people from a culture perspective and upload their work ethic to a whole different level.
Yeah, and if you make people feel like you actually, you understand they have personal lives, you care about them as people,
yeah.
They in turn should care about you know, and they perform better at work. In theory.
No. In theory.
No, I think it's true, though. I think it's always going to be moments of being out of balance.
But yeah,
I think,
of course.
I think what you said is 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the Container Village this year.
Yeah, we love Container Village. You know, like, the idea of Container Village is so cool and unique and special to St. John. And it's also so nice to see, like, St. John's waterfront being developed in such a way that sort of, you know, provokes people, they want to go uptown. Mm-hmm. People are attracted to the area. Okay. I think the Fundy Quay is going to be,
oh yeah,
like, wonderful, a wonderful addition. Mm. I really can't wait till that's done and see the whole thing really come together. You've got Container Village and then and Market Square and right in between the Fundy Quay, and that's mm-hmm. going to be really exciting. Container Village is, like, you know, it's an outdoor, we're in containers, but we treat it like it's an outdoor market.
Well, it's weather dependent. A lot of it's weather dependent on how many
and
people are down
year,
there.
The weather has been quite a battle.
But cruise is going to pick up here mm-hmm. in the coming weeks.
Yeah, after Labor Day really is when we sort of look at the season into, like, before and after school, basically, because also we lose, like, half our workforce.
Right.
Back to university or back to high school.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's manageable.
Right.
We're making do. I work a lot more down there, like, post Labor Day.
Right.
You don't see me so much down there in the summertime.
Right.
Unless the schedule, you know, something has gone awry and I'm the last line of defense, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, cruise season is about to start. And really it is kind of like two seasons because the first half of the summer is all, like, local tourism. Mm-hmm. It's people from Nova Scotia, PEI, Maine, or sometimes Ontario, and they're driving around, driving through. We get a lot of what we would consider local tourists. And then the cruise season is right after that. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah. Exciting. I mean, it's just like a fun place to be. It's just like a cool, mm-hmm. the vibes are so good.
And from a business perspective, obviously, you know, that's a whole subsection because you've got it's almost like brick and mortar. Essentially.
It totally
is. And then you've got online and then you've got, you know, trying to get physical products shipping to different places. So it's
the purchasing habits of the people at Container Village too are wildly different from, like, what we're used to in the online store. It's like having two businesses, really, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah. Managing our inventory is tricky too, because the container is only 160 square feet. And so where's there to store anything? Nowhere.
Right.
I mean, you have to be limited. Like pretty.
Yeah. Last year we learned a lot of lessons coming back from last year.
Yeah.
So we did, like, reorganize the space, and then we brought a lot more products back that are small, like small things.
Right.
Small things that people can travel with, small things that are easier to stock in the store.
Right.
Now, out of curiosity, I know for myself, like, when I have something from, like, a small business that I love, like, I have there's a company I really love, Treadwell Clothing out of Halifax. Mm-hmm. And he's the guy who makes it. He's the lead singer of a metal band that I love, the Cancer Bats. But all of his stuff is, like, really nice motorcycle wear. Every time I travel, I'm always wearing that stuff, or I'm wearing something from St. John, and I wear it. And it's like, if I'm in Toronto or Calgary, I wear it. Do you find that you get a lot of follow-up stuff from customers, like, after they've purchased?
Oh, yeah. Like,
I think we know, like, St. Johners love St. John, right?
Yeah.
But do you find that on the other, from cruise visitors or from people that buy, like?
I mean, everybody's different. Cruise passengers are, like, different from local tourists. Mm-hmm. And there's really two types. There's, like, the type of cruise passenger who's they don't even know where they are.
They've checked out. They're on vacation.
Take me. Following one person in their group has organized the whole thing, and they're just following them. And they're like, you know, but the other group of cruise passenger are like, they've researched the area. They know all the history. They're looking for directions to the market. They're so interested in the local businesses, and they want to know, where's this from? Where's that from? And they want to know the story of everything. It's kind of like, if you've ever been a bartender, being a retail employee is very similar. Like, you either hear people's entire life story, or they come in and out and they never say a word to you. And there's really no in between, actually. Like, people are really forthcoming and chatty about their lives. They connect with you on a personal level. And often it's over, like, you know, you start with the weather, and then they're like, this is so cool. How long has this been here? And you develop a script if you work down there.
I'd say everybody at Container Village is now in B Tourism.
Oh, essentially.
You guys got the script. You're promoting.
Last year we found we're giving directions so frequently to, like, markets. The market.
Yeah.
We had an artist, Miriam Beckwith on the west side, do a watercolor map for us to show where you are, where you could go, and
also for customer efficiency, because eventually, like, if you just want directions, like, here you go, and then it's like, oh, you want a product to buy? Yeah. No problem.
We put our website business information on one side and the map on the next.
That's brilliant.
And we handed out hundreds a day, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, people will order online from us after they leave.
That's
great. We've even had one woman who came on a cruise ship last year, was from Ontario. She drove down, she emailed us all year, like, she stayed in touch. And then this year her and her husband took their trailer and drove to St. John for vacation to see us.
Yeah, that's great. So that's kind of what I was wondering. And I think why I wanted to ask about that is it seems that you're very fixed on customer service. There's nothing that good customer service doesn't help the business with, and there's nothing that it can't help solve.
Well, I'm a, like, disorganized person by nature, and I'm like what – so my sister and I run the business together, and I'm what we call the ideas man, and she's the person who – follows up and follows through on all my harebrained schemes. So I'm really good at, like, having a million wild, crazy ideas. And, you know, 1% of those are going to happen. 99% are, I'm just talking. So she's the one who, like, keeps me, she's like my boss.
Yeah, I have one of those. I'm looking at her. She's filming right now.
So, like, I own the business. But she's my boss.
I totally understand.
We all have a boss.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good to be able to kind of delegate and have that process where you can kind of just, you don't feel crazy either. You can kind of just let it go and they're able to kind of put those things into the right pillars and how to action them.
But the customer service piece is important because otherwise I drop so many balls. Like, all I've got is good customer service.
Yeah.
She, on the other hand, is a very organized and professional individual. So far fewer things are slipping through the cracks these days.
I think you've got a lot of a big value proposition, and I think customer service is one of them. Your products are incredible, and we really appreciate all the work you've done with the port, curating boxes for us. We hand them out as gifts all the time.
Yeah, we love that partnership, actually.
So we're really excited that you were here and shared your story. Your story is incredible. And don't undersell yourself at the beginning, because this has been an incredible podcast.
I think you're an integrated thinker.
No question.
You're somebody who thinks, like, really big picture. They call those folks visionaries.
Yep.
And oh, good. That'll be my new bio.
No, for real. And why I say that,
your LinkedIn,
and it's not to sound, like, you know, snooty or anything, but I actually learned that about myself this past year from Glenn Hicks at U-Station. Mm-hmm. We were doing, like, personality mapping, and he was saying the reason why you feel sometimes so chaotic when you're putting out ideas is because you need someone who's able to actually help you action them and put them into a right flow, so that if you see it on your list, you don't feel like you failed because you haven't actioned something. You just need to know where it fits in that schedule and know that somebody is working on it or when you need to work on it. And it's kind of like, you know, when you were in school and they would get you to do a brainstorm and you draw the word web and you've got to do all the things. That's like our business, right? And the word web is always expanding, especially because of marketing and communications and drop shipping. There's so many different parts to it. And so we always have to be thinking, but in a healthy way. So I think, like, you know, that's the kind of way everybody wishes they could think, but it's tough. So to have, you know, an integrated mindset probably helps your sister very much to be able to follow up with vendors or suppliers or with shipping orders or when there's an issue that happens, because then you can come in energized, being like, hey, Kate, we've made an error, or we've sent you 13 instead of 12. It's cool. Yeah. Keep it. Just give it to someone. Tag us.
Yeah.
Whatever that might be. So I think having an integrated brain is really inspiring. So keep rocking on with that.
Will do.
And thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for really having me. Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in, and be sure to check out the MB Box. Ingrid, where can everybody find you?
We're at nbbox.ca.
There you go.
In St. John, we have besides the Container Village, we have a storefront on Millage Avenue that's open year round. So
wonderful. So check it out. Yeah. You won't be disappointed.
And
wonderful.
We'll see you for episode 10.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Thank you.